This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1227. You can email us, nationradio@theteam1260.com. One of the best blogs and one of the best sources of information on the internet is CanucksCorner.com, and specifically Tom Benjamin. Tom has been doing some very interesting things over the last few years, and it's a delight to talk to him. Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks very much, Alan.
Tom, one team tonight is headed for the golf course, and the other is expected to go very deep. The big question I want to ask you is, are Canucks fans basking in the pain felt in Alberta right now, as they should?
Yes. What can I say? After anybody who watched the Gretzky era will understand, I think, how we feel in Vancouver about how Edmonton's doing. There are a few teams that we enjoy watching lose more.
Well, you know what? After being on the other side of that, I can totally understand, because there were definitely some beat downs.
Moral victories were all we had to look forward to about 20 years ago. So.
And that's exactly what we're looking for tonight. Which team would you rather face in the first round? Does it matter?
I honestly don't care. I part of me like to see Chicago again.
Yeah. Just because of the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think that the Canucks are capable of beating any team, obviously, and quite frankly, when you're looking at the Stanley Cup playoffs, anybody can get beat, too. So, I feel comfortable playing Chicago. Of course, you know, that if Dallas makes it in, that would be the best matchup for the Canucks, probably, but I'd be happy with Chicago.
I asked Jim Houston this question a few weeks ago, and he said yes. In your opinion, is this the best Canucks team they've ever put on the ice?
No doubt about it. No. I mean, this has been a dominant year for them. They've just been extraordinary. The best offensive team, the best defensive team, the best power play, the best penalty kill. You really couldn't ask for anything more.
The one thing that I have a hard time in looking at the Canucks is identifying a true MVP, because there's about five or six of them. Who would you name if you had to?
I'd name Daniel. Not necessarily that he would be the MVP, but that's such a great story to follow, Henrik. I think the league is crazy if they don't go for it for that reason alone. You know, 20 years from now, the Sedins will... You should go into hockey lore in some way, and back-to-back Hart trophies would be a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Brother acts have been a story in the NHL forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, but they really have been something special. A real mystery to me, but they have been incredible. Well,
from the word go, although the last few years have been spectacular, the thing that would irritate me is if we saw what we saw in the year Aginla and Theodore were close and almost tied, and somebody from the East, and I don't remember the reporter or even the city, neglected to even fill out Aginla on one of the ballots at all, and that tipped it. I mean, I think he's earned it, so he should get it, but I sure hope we don't hear a story like that coming out of the summer.
I would be really surprised. Simply because it's such a terrific story, and the media types generally will go with a terrific story.
No.
I mean, you can argue that I think you can make a good argument that Henrik shouldn't have won it last year. It's easier to make an argument this year for Daniel, but it's the pair of them that are so extraordinary, and I think that the story of Daniel following his older brother is just too good to pass up.
Yeah, it is. Hey, if everybody's healthy on the blue line, what's the shutdown pairing, in your opinion, for the playoffs?
Well, Edler's their best defenseman, and they'll either use Bieksa, Hamhuis, or Edler, Bieksa.
There's a lot of Canucks draft choices in what you just said. When and why did the Canucks start drafting so well around the turn of the century and beyond?
I can't figure that. So I can't figure out what happened to the Canucks over the last 2 years, even to go from, you know, I mean, they found to go from mediocre to elite. I mean, how did the Sedins get so much better now than they were, say, 3 years ago when they were point-of-game players? I mean, they're the same guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ask Henrik, he says it's because the team is a lot better. And if that's the case, then there's a lot of guys out there who could improve by 30% because their team improves, right?
I hesitate to give him too much credit, but don't you think Kessler has really helped the depth and the Sedins because they don't have to face the toughest every night?
I don't think that Kessler, all four Canucks stars, Luongo, Kessler, and the Sedins have been absolutely spectacular. But if you're talking about the opponents, they send their best out against the Sedins.
Yeah.
And whether Kessler got 25 goals or 35 goals, they're still sending their best out against the Sedins. So I don't think they've helped them that way so much as a matter of fact, it's in some ways Malhotra has been sort of more important than Kessler's improvement, because with Malhotra you could send him out there against Getzlaff and it gives the Sedins and Kessler easier matchups.
One of the things that I think the Canucks fans can look toward over the next few games is watching Alain Vigneault try to figure out who he's going to play in that Malhotra position, or even if they're going to have that checking center. What do you believe the solution is going to be?
I think that they were really happy, I think, last night using Mason Raymond in the middle on the third line.
Okay.
But I think at the end of the day, if they, say, played Anaheim, I think the best answer for them, believe it or not, is to stick Raymond in the middle on the second line,
yeah,
between Samuelson and Higgins, and use Kessler against Getzlaff.
How smart does Gillis look after making that that trade for Higgins at the deadline?
I tell you, Mike Gillis should go out looking for money in a parking lot. Really, everything that he touches turns to gold, and has for a couple of years. I mean, it's really hard to find a move that hasn't really worked out well for him.
How much credit should we give to Vigneault, Gillis, and then he who should not be spoken about, Brian Burke, for this team?
I don't think that you can really separate them. If you look at Burke and Nonis, most of the pieces were here for Gillis, right? I mean, you go back to Burke's drafting of the Sedins, and it took 10 years for them to become elite players, but he still deserves the credit for it. It was Burke who found Burroughs out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? Alexander Edler was another terrific draft pick from the, like a late-round draft pick who's turned out to be a really good player. This Chris Tanev kid that they found this year is going to be a player.
Is he a college kid?
Yeah, he's a really funny story. He dropped out of minor hockey at age 15 because no midget team would have him. He was 5 feet tall and weighed 100 pounds as a defenseman. And at 17 and 18, he grew a foot. So he only played Tier 2 hockey and eventually got a scholarship, played 1 year in U.S. college hockey and was signed as a free agent. But was looked as a real prospect as a 14, 15-year-old, except he didn't grow until he was 18 or 19. So.
This is Nation Radio and Edmonton Sports Radio Team 1260. I'm Alan Mitchell. We're in conversation with Tom Benjamin from CanucksCorner.com. Tom, is Sam Hughes going to be back in time for the playoffs? What have you heard there?
I think so.
Okay.
All the indications are it was another fairly mild concussion, if you want to call any concussion mild, I suppose. But all of the talk is that he's pretty well. I don't think the Canucks will take any chances at all. He may not be back until the playoffs actually start, but I think he'll be back. Edler's going to be back too, and
he's
probably the key.
Is it a matter of, I mean, one thing about the Northwest Division, if you look at the other teams, and specifically the Oilers, the Canucks have a kick-ass AHL team, and they can call up players, and I'm not talking about the prospects like Hodgkin or Schrader, I'm talking about these players who have had their talent ground down to a usable level on a checking line or a line that can come in and offer a little bit of energy. The Canucks really have an outstanding AHL team that they can call upon.
the AHL team, and not only Vigneault was coaching down there too for a couple of years before he came up. Yes, the Canucks have done really well in Manitoba. It's been a great relationship for them. And it was one of the things that Gillis wanted to do was build the depth in the organization. It's really hard, given the collective bargaining agreement, to do that. But it's also one of the things that makes it easier for a good team is that a player like Jeff Tambellini, for example, who's a useful piece, I guess, is willing to sign for $500,000, a two-way contract to play in Vancouver for the chance to win, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they also have a tremendous number of kids, 22 or younger, on that team. They're all young. I mean, they've got a few veterans, but that's a young group down there.
In Manitoba?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And the real question is, really, what are they going to do with them? It's like the first one that they're going to be faced with a problem with is Corey Schneider, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, next year is going to be, at best, his last year as a Canuck. And what do they trade him for?
Well, you'll forgive us if we don't feel too sorry for you and other Canucks fans.
No. Well, I recognize that. But in times past, you know, they should be able to package Corey Schneider to a team like Edmonton, who's looking for a stud goaltender, if you want, right? Mm-hmm. That they should be able to package him and send him off for a decent player.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they could, but they've got no cap space, so they can't take the player back.
Right, they could take a pick or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Schneider was a first-round pick. Are you going to recycle first-round picks forever? I mean,
no. You're right. And he's the kind of guy who I was surprised. I guess maybe it was that they didn't need the bullet this year, but he's a guy you could get a king's ransom for at the trade deadline.
This year?
Yeah, or next year.
Well, yes, except the Canucks couldn't take a king's ransom back because any king's ransom carries a salary.
Right, okay.
And so all you can take is a pick or a prospect or something like that, and that's what he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Hodgson's going to be in the same place. Here's a playmaking center, right? Broke all the scoring records, and he's a passer, and he's an offensive player.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have a job in Vancouver for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and it really is up and down the line great depth. Two really quick final questions for you, Tom.
Sure.
Do you use what we call advanced stats in evaluating players?
Not really.
Okay.
I will look at them and whatnot, but I'm ambivalent about them.
Okay. All right, I appreciate that. You're the first person on here who said that, but I understand that. And you know what? I can tell you, I love reading your blog. It's one of my daily stops, and keep going because we really enjoy it.
Great. Thanks very much.
All right. That's Tom Benjamin from CanucksCorner.com. If you've never read him before, a very interesting, insightful fellow. And as you can see, he knows the Canucks backwards. And, man, it is just so galling that the Canucks are so good. I bit my tongue the whole time during that interview because there were things I could still want to say, but I can't. This is Nation Radio. We're coming back with Bruce McCurdy from Cult of Hockey.